salvation. Baptism doth also now save us, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the lesson. Baptism saves us through the resurrection. It connects us to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about that. And Paul, or Peter tells us also that baptism is the answer of a good conscience. And again, when I was growing up, I thought, well, I don't know what that means, but okay. We'll talk about tonight what it means that baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God. So many people in the world believe that baptism has nothing to do with salvation. It is just something that happens later on, right? It's that outward sign of an inward grace type thing. And baptism has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. But I believe that these verses that we're reading and that we'll look at tonight in detail tell us a different story about baptism. That there is a connection between baptism and salvation. There's a connection between baptism and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what does it mean that baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God? Let's look into those things this evening. First and foremost, let's connect baptism with salvation. So can we agree that either baptism saves you or it doesn't, right? There's really no in between, and that can be with anything. Either something saves you or it doesn't. So either baptism saves us or it doesn't. What does the inspired apostle Peter tell us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21? And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. It's pretty simple that Peter says, yes, baptism does save us. And again, this is the inspired apostle Peter that's telling us, yes, baptism does save you. And so when we're arguing that baptism doesn't save you, we're not just arguing with people, right, of members of the churches of Christ or whatever. We're actually having to argue and having to debate with the inspired apostle Peter. And I don't think that that's a debate that we're going to win. And so what is the connection? How is that connection being made? Well, what was the purpose of the flood? If you look at Genesis chapter 6, God gives us the reason that the flood is going to come. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was on evil continually. And so as bad as our world is, we haven't quite gotten here yet. But he says, I looked and I saw the wickedness of mankind, and it was great. Every thought, every intent was evil. And notice verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Have we ever been sorry for, if you have children, for maybe, you know, you give your children a little bit of space, right, and say, okay, I've taught them and I've taught them well, and I'm going to give them space to make this decision. And then they make that decision and we think, I'm disappointed that I've now given them that because they made the wrong decision. And I think God is looking at it the same way. He says, I'm sorry that I even made mankind. But then, in verses 8 and 9, but Noah found favor or found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. And so here is a man who, again, he's planning on destroying the earth, and he says, you know what? This man I can take. This man I can stomach. This person found favor, found grace in the eyes of God. And so he decides to bring him safely through the destruction of the earth because he was a righteous man, because he was blameless in his time, and because he walked with God. So the purpose of the flood was to really take the evil out of the world and allow this person who has found grace and found favor in the eyes of God to begin anew. Baptism is similar to that. Baptism is a separation, not a separation of, oh, I'm going to separate good people from bad people. It's a separation of, I'm going to separate obedient people from disobedient people. And so baptism, again, separates us from the world. When we're obedient to God, we have found favor in the eyes of God, and therefore he separates us from the rest of the world. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, we read again in the faith chapter of the Bible, By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Well, how is it that Noah condemns the world? Isn't that God's job? Well, I don't know if you've ever taken a college level course, or maybe even some of your high school teachers have done this. You ever been graded on a curve? I used to love when the teacher would say, I'm going to grade you on a curve. And what that meant, at least in our world, and there may be different types of curves, what one of our teachers would do is whoever got the best grade in the class, and if that grade was an 80%, that 80% became 100. So my 60% then became 80%, right? I love those. But here's what always happened. That one person, that smart person, would study, right, for real, and go ahead and just get 100 on the test. Do you know what that person has now done? They've condemned my 60%, right, because they have gotten the grade that they're supposed to get. That's how Noah condemned the world. Obviously, God is the only one that condemns us, but when God is looking and saying, this is the only person who's doing what I've asked them to do, nobody else meets that. Nobody else gets there. And so he's taking all of the evil out of the world. We want to be that person on that curve, that breaks that curve, that are doing what God wants us to do. So what is it that really saved Noah in this context? Well, can we say that God saved him? Absolutely. God designed the plan that Noah was going to need to follow to come through this safely. And so can we say that God saved Noah? Abs-